We're making our way through the books of the Bible. We're on the book of Isaiah. This is the first of the prophets through Lent on Sunday mornings, major prophets. So Isaiah's today. Minor prophets are on Wednesday nights. And we're at Isaiah. Isaiah's the greatest book by far. He's the Shakespeare of the prophets. You know, prophets, great stuff in the prophets. He makes them more clear. He's so detailed because he sees things clearer than any other prophet. The others talk about repentance and, you know, doing bad things, whatever. He brings in and talks about that this is a nature sin. This is more than just sins. And it's going to need a Messiah. It's going to need somebody great. But I get ahead of myself. If you have the worksheet, it's called Isaiah, the Call for Messiah, because all the prophets together, collectively, I'd like to call the divine call. That's their message. They're calling people to do something or to stop doing something. Now, the first page, I have the three classic theological points that have been made through the centuries in Christianity. Creation, fall, and redemption. Those three have always been hooked together. But Isaiah talks about them far better than any other prophet. There are prophets today. And a lot of Christians have prophetic gifts at one time or another where they know something or know they're supposed to talk to somebody at one time, a particular time, a particular place, and they do. And I have friends who just are discerning of the Spirit. But I know that there's some friends who really get it right almost all the time. They know what they'll say, Kent, I've been praying for you, and there's something in your life, and, you know, whatever, they address something. And they would be right on. I needed somebody to call me and pray for me at that time. Well, anyway, creation. In the 40s and 50s, not the years 40s and 50s, but in the chapters 40s and 50s in Isaiah, it's about creation. And by the way, in the Old Testament, New Testament, when we talk about creation, we're talking about problems. And that God is the creator, and so he can help us in our problems. Revelation, about massive martyrdom and also suffering on behalf of the prophets. And in the Old Testament, but what we have is he talks about creation. Creation is always put out there as a hope, because if God created everything, he can certainly be in our situation and help us. I just take one of them, but read sometime, 40s and 50s. By the way, it's a mini Bible. There are 66 chapters, there are 66 books in the Bible. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, and there's 39 books in Isaiah that are mostly judgment. New Testament has 27 books. Well, the last 27 books of Isaiah talk about grace and hope and God's love and forgiveness. So that's pretty cool right off the bat. And he spoke now 700 years after Jesus. Before Jesus he spoke. 700 years before Jesus. Terry, thank you for reading that. I know your mouth must be a little tired, but the whole book is amazing. You guys have to see that it was written 700 years before Jesus came. And it talks succinctly about what it's about, what he does, and what he accomplishes more than anything else, especially Isaiah 53. But here's creation. I am the Lord who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. He repeats this in many different forms constantly. Read in the 40s and the 50s. Heck, read the whole book. But just know, mostly judgment, 39 chapters, 27, and it talks about God's grace. But then it's the fall. How serious is the fall? A lot of times prophets will say, you know, you sinned, repent. You sinned particularly at this time, so repent. Isaiah goes deeper, and he goes to the heart of what we call original sin, that there's something in our DNA, there's something wrong with humankind, right from birth, that there's nothing we can fix. It is terribly serious, this sin of ours, and it has isolated us from God. Isaiah knows that. He knows it well. He doesn't just talk about their sins. He talks about sin. This is what he says. I just wanted you to have these scriptures because they're so amazingly beautiful. This is what he says about humanity, the nature of man and women. Our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities and rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on God. The next in 64:6. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Isn't that beautiful? We know that one. We, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned our own way. He's defining the problem with humanity before God. Isaiah 59, your iniquities have separated you from God. I mean, he talks about something is deeply wrong with humanity, and it is sin, and it is the sin you're born with. Like in the Psalm 51, where it talks about that from birth I'm sinful. Okay, so he knows the human predicament. He knows the problem with humanity. And so he also clearly sees the solution more than any other prophet. And by the way, the sin is so terrible that a man cannot do it. And yet only God as man can do it. Okay? And so he knows that redemption has to be for every person of all times. And a man can't do it alone. God has to do it, but he's going to do it in the incarnation by becoming man. Here's the thoughts of redemption that Isaiah has. Chapter 44. Israel, I will not forget you. Isn't that beautiful? I've swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me because I have redeemed you. This stuff is so much more beautiful than anything else in Scripture. It just he nails it every time. Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. The Messiah is going to be God. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will reign on David's throne. That's the promise of this Messiah. And over his kingdom. Isaiah 9. Where do we go in the birth of Jesus in Christmas? Where do we go for material on the Messiah? Isaiah, right? He talks about the one born of the Virgin. Talks about the one like here who is called Mighty God. See, Isaiah knows that sin is so deep, you're going to need somebody special, somebody new, different, and that's the Messiah. The Messiah is the only way in which this can happen, this redemption, when God and man are one in Jesus Christ. He was pierced for our transgressions, Isaiah 53. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. He understands how serious the sin issue is and that only something special can rectify that. 53:8, for the transgression of my people he was punished because he poured out his life unto death. 700 years before Christ. You got to put that in context. 700 years before Christ. He knew that the Messiah was going to suffer. Nobody believed the Messiah was going to suffer at Jesus' time or that he was God. That's what kept the Jews really from believing. No way is the Messiah going to suffer, although we got 53rd chapter of Isaiah saying otherwise, and also he can't be God. Isaiah knew both, clearly. He was poured out unto death and was numbered with the transgressions. He bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This Messiah alone can carry the weight of sin and redeem the world. Isaiah 7, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel. God with us, it means. God with us. Isaiah is profound. I want to do a demonstration to talk about this. Now, this light, of course, doesn't work. Got to plug it in. Wait now. It's got three prongs, but there's only a two-prong outlet. Bob, where are you, Bob? Bob or Don or Larry? Frank? Okay. So what do I do? What? Turn upside down. See, it's got that third element in here that gets in the way, and there's only a two-prong outlet. Well, let's see. My wife, she always puts things in my pocket before church, and usually they're something I need. Well, what do you know? It's a cheater. The Messiah was a cheater. And he was. He forgave somebody else's sin. He died for somebody else's sin. It's the cheater's the answer. Think of the cheater. Pretend that this everything in this room is creation. Creation is finite and limited. All the molecular world, the universe, is this room. And God, of course, is spiritual. He's on the other side of this wall. Now, it used to be that it worked, that God and humanity were at peace, and that human beings were enlivened. Electricity enlivens, doesn't it? Enlivened because they were connected to God. But because of sin, we have a problem. You know that third little, what do you call that? the prong, and it's called the ground. Adam in Genesis is called an earth creature. That's what Adama means, earth creature. And so, but in this case, because of the addition of sin in humanity, we no longer have access to God. We can't be what we're created to be. We're stuck. Nothing we can do on this side of creation. So God has prepared a special agent, the Messiah, who is God and man, to come and take our sins on his back. Let's try this. By the way, do you know that there's two prongs here that fit in right there with God? Remember in John, as I am in you and you are in me? See, he knew this was coming. He set me up. So this cheater, this adapter, the Messiah is an adapter. This has two prongs because it connects right into God, but it has three holes. The ground is received. So I plug this in and it takes in Christ Jesus the Messiah, takes our sin into himself and it disappears, right? And then it should work because, see, he's man. Man connects with him and he is God. And so we should be able to make this work. And I'll call on Bob if we have a problem here. Come on, Bob. Oh, I think I got it. Oh, no. Okay, see if the light comes on. Come on, it should come slowly. You seen it? Okay, it's coming, right? I see it on this side. Do you see it on that side? Okay. You could have done better than that. I saw some light on this side. But isn't that cool? The three marks, too, on the back, when he receives us with our sin. He doesn't wait for us to get better. He receives us as we are. We slip into Christ. If we're in Christ, we're in God. We receive all the life that comes from God. Isn't that cool? He's the Messiah is an adapter and a cheater because he takes the wrong sins. He puts the wrong sins of the wrong person on his back. He puts our sins on his back. And the three holes remind me of the holes of Christ. His two hands and then one through his feet. The three prongs. It's because of the death and resurrection of the Messiah who was God and man. Okay. That's the redemption part. Redemption comes when we are connected to the Messiah by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. I added a little more on the back page just because there's such beautiful stuff. There's creation, which means we're accountable to God. There's the fall, which means we don't really do what God wanted us to do. And then there's redemption in this Messiah on the cross. But I want to go one step further. Fruit. There is fruit, and Isaiah knows it. If you're redeemed, there should be fruit. And here's three parts of that fruit, three things. One is the great commandment, right? Go and preach the gospel. This is what he says. Go down in the middle, B. I will make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. He's the one who said, I'll make them a light. He wants us to be a light. And if we're connected into Christ, the goal is that we do become a light. And by the way, this God and man thing, which the adapter brings out, light for centuries, scientists thought that everything had to be a particle or a wave. That you can't have both. Then they discovered something, that light has properties of a particle and a wave. It's a paradox, and it doesn't seem possible. But wouldn't that be interesting? Isn't that interesting that Jesus calls himself the light? And now we are to be the light? That's part of the fruit. We should be a light to the nations. Look at the great commandment. This is what he says in Isaiah about great commandment. That is, we are to love others. Is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry? To provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked to clothe them? If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed? Where does it say it better than that? And of course, hope in the storm. Hope fills the book. This idea that I'm with you. Don't fear, I'm with you. And this is one of the greatest from Isaiah 43. Part of the fruit of redemption should be this hope and this peace in the storm. Do not fear, for I've redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Do not be afraid. Isn't that good stuff? The whole book is. Now, you got to make it through the first 39 chapters. There's some grace in there, but a lot of judgment, which is you know, which guides a person to redemption. They need to know this judgment to get there. But read it. And keep, if you want to start in chapter 40, that's fine. But it just drips with truth. The truth of who we are, the truth of who the Messiah is and what he does, and the truth that he has us after redemption bear fruit and be a light to the world and the nations. Amen.